This is Women in Power Wednesdays, where I, your host, Bree Logue, interview female entrepreneurs every single week who are absolute badasses in their field. Whether they are just starting out, running million-dollar companies, we're going to interview and ask the hard questions. Tune in every single Wednesday to hear a new speaker. And welcome to Women in Power Wednesdays. I'm your host, Bree Logue. And today we have Sandy Marlisa as featured on 97X, WGN, and NPR. She is your favorite small town rock star. Her original work is cataloged in 3 albums and 2 books. She tours all around the Emerald and Forgotten Coast of Florida, and her original work has sparked the beginnings of a cultural revolution in Panama City, Florida. I am super excited to chat today.
Me too. I'm happy to be here.
So to start, I always like to ask a little bit more about you and what you're currently working on.
Absolutely. So I am a Floridian, about a fourth generation Floridian as far as that I can go back. And I am incredibly passionate specifically about the Emerald and Forgotten Coasts. And that's a huge backdrop of all of my work. I think there's a big sort of stereotype about Floridians, and you hear about Florida man and all that kind of stuff. So I like to sort of shine a light on my culture and my people and how we live and work and exist in this world, because we are real. We're not just like these, you know, imaginary people that live down here. There's people who have lived and worked and raised their families in Florida for a long, long time. And so currently I am actually really starting to put my mind towards a fiction book that kind of romanticizes life in my town, but in a fantasy type world. So hopefully that'll be released maybe next year. But I am also part of a musical duo called Jack and Jen. And we just released a cartoon that is set around our original music. And we're just keep playing music and enjoying our lives here in paradise. So that's what I'm currently working on.
Wow, that sounds so amazing and so fun. So I always wanted to be able to sing like my whole life. That's like one thing that, I feel like everybody wishes that, but just it'll never happen for me. It's not my thing. It never will be. But on another note, so you do a lot of really creative, cool things. Have you always been a really creative person ever since you were young?
Oh, yes. That is just, it's just how I move and breathe through life. And, you know, sometimes much to the disdain of the people around me who sometimes see me get caught up in another world and not exist in this one for a time. It could be kind of frustrating for some people around me, but it's just the way that I experience life and reality, you know, so there's just no getting around it. It's just who I am.
That's awesome. So for our audience, there are a lot of female entrepreneurs on here. And I know I've talked to a lot of them, and entrepreneurs tend to either, I feel like, be really analytical or really creative. Do you have any tips for somebody who's kind of stuck in that analytical place that needs to kind of push those barriers and open up their creativity?
Oh, absolutely. Get some creative friends. Try to branch outside of your comfort zone. And it doesn't just mean, you know, try to become this artsy fartsy type of person. You know, it's not about trying to be someone that you're not. It's more about connecting with people who emulate what you are wanting to explore within your own self. Because, you know, other people are ultimately mirrors to our own selves. And so when we connect with another person, we're able to see a reflection of ourselves that we wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. So just go and hang out with some of these people that you think are really cool, and you may not understand necessarily how their brain works or how they move through the world, how they make money. I know a lot of people, when they talk to me, they're like, how does this girl even make money? The world that I exist in does not make sense to them. So when you get around people like that, it helps you experience the world in a different way. And so for myself, being a more creative person, and I have to be analytical because I have 2 kids, I can't, you know, being a starving artist is not an option for me. That isn't something that I get to do. Okay. I don't get to live in a van. That's not something in the cards for me. So for me, I love connecting with people who are more analytical because they emulate to me something that I desire. You know, I need to be able to put food on the table. I need to be able to create a streamlined process in order to get my art out to the world. Otherwise, I'm creating and no one gets to experience it. So I think the best thing to do is just make some friends, you know, outside your comfort zone and get to know them. And in that process, you get to know yourself.
I love that. That is great advice. You're right. I feel like that's when I really start to level up is when you surround yourself with people who are doing bigger things and like actually push the boundaries of what you're doing. It's like, oh, they make you think differently. When you're around the same people, it could definitely be draining sometimes too. If you guys all think the same, it's like, oh, I feel like we're having the same conversations every time we see each other, you know?
Exactly. And it can bring life to the relationships you already have. If you start branching outside your comfort zone, it can be exciting for everybody involved. So,
for sure. So you asked a question, how do you make money? So how do you make money? How do you market your work? Has marketing been a big thing for you? How do you get your stuff out there?
Yeah, so I'll do a combination of online marketing and just shaking hands with people. I like to tell people, you know, I was really a recluse. I don't think people really understand that about me. Sometimes if they've known me for quite a while, they don't realize how much time I actually spent alone because I was way more comfortable alone. I still am way more comfortable alone. But I realized that the dreams that I had were too big in order to be alone. So if I wanted to accomplish these things inside of my heart, I had to go and meet people, and that can be really scary. But so the way that I started marketing was actually very simple, is I would just message somebody on Facebook that I hadn't talked to in a while and said, hey, you know, I was just thinking about you and I thought it would be really fun if we got a cup of coffee together and I would love to buy you a cup of coffee. Would you mind? Can I have 30 minutes of your time? And I would go to my favorite coffee shop in town, Wild Root in Lynn Haven, and just meet with people. And I wasn't meeting with people to sell them anything or to even, you know, branch out my network, you know, it's nothing like that. It was more, I was ready to make connections as a person. And, you know, automatically, what's one of the first things you ask people when you go out and meet with them after a long while? They say, well, what do you do for a living? You know, and then you get to mention it. Hey, you know, at the time I was doing social media marketing and copywriting, you know, as a job. And I would just mention it. And then sometimes 6 months down the line, these people would message me back and they say, hey, you know, I was just talking to somebody and they were looking for somebody to do social media marketing. And I thought of you, you know, and it wasn't because I was trying to sell it. It was because I was just connecting with people and they know what I do and they like me. And so they think of me whenever something like that comes up down the line. And, you know, the face-to-face marketing and word of mouth marketing, even in the social media age, is still number one, period. So especially in what I do, playing gigs around town or, you know, selling books about my town, whatever it is, that face-to-face and word of mouth is still priceless. My reputation as a person and just existing in my town, it makes me an imminent force and face so that when people think of original art or, you know, original writing or music, they're thinking about Sandy Marlisa, period. I'm in that list. So to me, that's the most invaluable form. But then, of course, you know, I've got all the regular stuff. I got an email list and a, you know, a website and all that good stuff. You know, it's not that you don't do those things. But to me, number one is absolutely word of mouth and face-to-face marketing.
For sure. I 100% agree with that, too. I feel like you have to get out there and meet people around your town. It's, like, super important, especially for just the local community in general. Like, I feel like you're giving back, even if, you know, you're not donating money or anything like that. It's still like you're, you know, giving your time and you're spending time with these people and you're making these connections. It's just so important. One of the first things I did when I moved to Texas was, you know, like join the chambers and things like that, because it's like that's where, you know, I need to. I moved across country, so it's like I need to, you know, meet all these new people and start, you know, my life over and, you know, build connections. Never so much, you know, like to write, try to sell them, but it's more like, you know, actually getting to know these people, making friends, and, you know, living a life.
Exactly.
Love that. So do you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
It was more, I knew I wanted to be an artist and I had no choice but to be an entrepreneur, if that makes sense. So it's like I said, I feel most comfortable when I am alone. And there's no getting around that. That's my happy place. I love just vibing by myself, creating whatever project that I feel like. But when I grew up and realized that, you know, the world isn't too kind to artists that, you know, aren't Beyonce or Taylor Swift, they don't, you know, the world doesn't really have a high opinion of us. You know, they have this idea that we're all starving and living in vans somewhere in Colorado. And that it's just not the case. And it doesn't have to be the case, but I did not know how to make it work because I didn't have anybody to show me. So I knew I was this artistic person and it was kind of like a, you know, a dirty secret that I had because I felt like, you know, I wasn't Beyonce or Taylor Swift. So how am I going to live a creative life that makes sense and still put food on the table for my kids? And that was a really hard struggling point for me. And so I just remember I was actually working with a church in Jacksonville, Florida, and they asked me to start running their videography and their social media department. And I thought, well, that's creative enough. And I had to start making graphics and I got paid a little bit to do these services. And I just started sort of trying to put my artistic talents towards something. And it wasn't 100% what I wanted to do, but it was a step in that direction. And then from there, I got offered to be the social media marketer for a really large online community of over 250K people that I had to manage and make, you know, social media posts for. I started copywriting for them. I started email marketing. I just started kind of working within this business and learning all of these skill sets that I previously did not have. I started writing blogs. I got, you know, featured on major publications as a ghostwriter for my stuff. And the more and more that I lived in this world, I realized that, hey, maybe I could take all of these skills and start doing it for myself. Maybe I can take all this marketing that I've learned through this other company and apply it to my actual artistic passion, marry those things together, and truly become one with what I wanted to offer the world. And that's sort of the process I've been in and over the past 7 years now, is taking all those skill sets, that analytical part that I had to do to put food on the table, and marrying that with my artistic passion, because I had written a book of essays. I had, you know, started, you know, I've written songs my whole life. And so starting to learn how to package these things in a way that I could sell them, much like I was doing for my clients who sold online courses and books and all of this stuff, I just learned the whole business. And then was like, well, now it's time to do it for myself. Now I'm going to package my stuff the way that they did. And it just kind of naturally progressed that way for me. So like, I didn't see a road, so I made one, if that makes sense. I didn't see a way, so I made a way. And I think that's going to be the path for a lot of modern day artists. There's not so much talent scouts going around trying to find the next big thing. People really care more about your social media following now. They care about what you can already do on your own. And if you are, you know, successful on that level, then they would like to partner you with you in the future. But first you got to build that for yourself. So that was my road trying to get here. And it's, you know, the fact that, you know, the house I'm sitting in right now is paid for through my art, that blows my mind. And it was a long journey to get here, but it's cool. It's cool.
That is so cool. I love that. Yeah. I love that you, you know, took a job that still was able to get, like, you had that, those creative kind of outlets, and then it turned out like it worked. Well, sounds like it worked out well for you. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about your books. What kind of made you jump in and want to write a book?
That's a good question. So I've always loved books. When I was a kid, I was the one that hung out in the libraries during lunch breaks, you know, and had a really good relationship with the librarians. And so it was just, you know, I've always loved books. I've always loved reading anything, really, but specifically fiction. And as I grew older, I just thought more and more about perhaps being able to write my own book, especially when I started copywriting. For various companies, I thought, you know, I'm actually pretty good at this and perhaps I should try to do something for myself. But the only issue is I also had two children. So I'm working 60 hours a week on my own business, working for these companies. And then I also have two kids and my kids didn't go to daycare or anything. So they were with me and I was also trying to get a bachelor's degree in sociology. So I just didn't have a lot of time to dedicate towards getting caught up in a fictional world. So I thought, well, maybe I can't do a full-scale novel right now. Like that's not in line with what my life is right now, but maybe I can do a Hemingway and just write essays. So I started using my social media talents and my writing talents and posting these essays on Facebook. And they were usually about 500 to 1,000 words. And I'd sort of test the things that I wrote to see what people responded to see if my point was getting across, if the message was relayed effectively. And I did this for a few years. And then one day, a Category 5 hurricane hit my hometown and completely destroyed and devastated it. So my home was destroyed along with all of my neighbors within a 100-mile radius. It's just completely devastating. And I had to leave and went to a place called Miramar Beach to stay and recover and figure out the next steps. And I just had this burning in my heart to write an essay about what I had experienced. And so I went ahead and penned it out, and it was called The Storm in the Century. And the piece actually went viral across the, you know, the United States and drew attention to the plight of my people and what we had just gone through. It was less than 1,000 words. And I got all of this attention from the, you know, after years of doing these essays, there was just a chord that got struck at the right time. And now my writing is being sent everywhere. So that definitely made me think, okay, maybe it's time, you know, after I read a little bit about the hurricane and had all these other essays, to try to package these essays into a book. So I took, you know, about 90,000 words of my best essays and tried to categorize them a little bit like Hemingway would do, and title it To All Who Wander, and gave it the tagline, an essay collection for fellow sojourners, and published this book. And it got a really good response. And a few of my other essays were published in anthologies. One of them went number one in the field of natural disasters on Amazon. So it was just kind of a natural thing again. It was just kind of following my muse, essentially, and doing what I could do, not focusing on what I can't do, because what I really wanted to do was write a fiction novel. And that's still like number one, like that's something I really want to do, but life just didn't have that for me right then. So I did what I could do instead and spent 15 to 20 minutes a day writing these essays, and it led to really big things for me. So.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited. I'll have to look them up too, because I was like, oh, let's look up all these things. I'm excited. I love reading. I've been a big reader my whole life too. So you see, I'm got some of my books.
You got a nice library. Me.
Yeah, I got this little library going. Yeah, I love reading, so I'm excited. And by with fiction books especially, I always love fiction. It's been a big passion of mine too. It always helps me get my creative juices flow too. Cause for me, it's like, oh, if I can get lost in another world for, you know, a half hour to an hour a day, it always makes me feel, I have better dreams at night. I can wake up in the morning feeling more creative. There's just so many benefits of it too. Just like kind of like shutting your brain off from, you know, all the things you have going on and just being able to focus on something fun.
Absolutely.
So I have two more questions for you and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Entrepreneurship has many ups and downs. How do you handle the bad days?
Well, I like to read. That's one of my passions. So getting lost in a book is a very simple thing, but a really empowering thing, as you said. You know, it's like you said, it can take you to a different place where your problems aren't your problems anymore. Now it's some other fictional character's problems and you're living vicariously through them. And what's cool about most fiction books is it usually works out, you know, it usually works out. And so choosing the right book to kind of help stabilize you is a really empowering thing. And also sitting down at my piano and reading music kind of helps my brain shut off and be quiet. And it's really the simple stuff, eating good food. You know, maybe you need to abstain from alcohol for a little while because it's not good for you right then because you're not in a good headspace for it. Maybe it's taking a walk, getting out into nature. But to me, like handling the bad days is get back to being a human. You know, it's not that serious. The sun is going to rise tomorrow. All the same things are going to happen over and over again. Every day is a new day. And if we can figure out a way to ground ourselves into the fact that we are human and our problems aren't so big that they can't be solved. I think that helps alleviate some of the pressure that we feel of the weight being on our shoulders all the time, because the truth is it isn't. The world will keep spinning no matter what. That's, you know, you're going to wake up and it's going to keep going, and time waits for no one. And while that can sometimes feel overwhelming and like we're running out of time, to me, I think it's humbling to know that while I think I can accomplish cool things in the world, it's really just going to be a blip at the end of the day. So might as well enjoy your life while it's here as well.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Yeah, for me, move around, reading, exactly. Those things are always really helped me. I love that you said alcohol, because I feel like that's something that I used to do when I was like, I'm going to have a bad day, I need to have a drink. And I'd associate that for a long time. And then I realized, you know, like associating that, they're not good things to associate together. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's okay for like celebrating, but if you want to, you know, have it drown out your worries, that's when it's not a good thing. So that's something that I became like very keenly aware of last year. And I was like, oh, I have to be like more careful about these things because it can definitely help you spiral versus, you know, overcome it.
Absolutely. You wake up one day and you're Joe at your next door bar. You know, you've been there 5 years, three times a week. You don't, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. And then so second to last question. What tips do you have for women who want to go all in on themselves and who are kind of nervous to make that leap, you know, into entrepreneurship?
Okay. I mean, to me, it's not necessarily all or nothing. It's all or something. So if you can't give your all, if you're a little scared to do 100% into your own stuff, do 20%. You know, set aside if you're still working for another company and, you know, you really feel like you have what it takes to go your own, set aside a couple hours a day where you are going it on your own. See how successful that is. Build your confidence and then make the transition when it is financially feasible for you, emotionally feasible for you. You know, to me, it wasn't an overnight thing getting 100% into it. I have ran my own business since I was 19, as far as, you know, doing copywriting work for people, doing social media marketing for people, right? I'm a contracted worker. I get to set my own hours. So there's freedom in that. But I wasn't doing 100% what I want to do for my own business, if that makes sense. So making that transition was a slow one. I had to build a community first that was going to support me when I went fully into my artistic vision. That took years to do, person by person. You know, this isn't me linking up with a publishing company or a producing company and them doing all my marketing for me. This was me doing it piece by piece, show by show. I've played over 1,000 shows in the Florida Panhandle at this point. I've written 2 books, actually 3. The first one I didn't think was any good. So it's like, just keep doing it. It's not all or nothing. It's all or something. And as long as you're giving something to yourself, as long as you're setting aside time, something, it could be 15 to 20 minutes a day writing those essays so that you do eventually have a book. Took me 6 years to have enough essays to put into a book. 6 years of consistently writing these essays, but then I did have a finished product at the end. So there is power in just giving a little bit of your day to something, even if it can't be the whole day, especially if you have kids, you've got a spouse, you've got, you know, maybe you're caregiving for a sick family member like that. Those things are very real. And those responsibilities are things that we have to fulfill. There's no getting around that. But give something to yourself. And that is going to grow like a seed in the ground. It's not going to grow. You know, it's going to do something. You don't get to decide how much time it takes to get there necessarily. But every bit of effort that you put towards a big project is going to do it. It's like, I like to give the analogy of a bucket. And, you know, you keep dropping a singular drop of water in this bucket every day. Every day you drop a little bit of water into the bucket. And, you know, time goes by and you forgot to count how many drops of water you put into the bucket. You just kept doing it. And you don't know what day it is where you put a drop in and the whole thing's going to spill over. You start watching it. And it gets really close and it starts doing that bubble thing at the top. And you're like, man, any moment now, it's going to spill over. I know, any moment. And you keep putting these drops in, wondering if it's ever going to do it. And then one day it does. An example, that essay I told you that went viral, over 5 years later, I had a single that just did really well. It was called Death Roll by Jack and Jen, my duo band. And it got on all these radio stations, and it got to the radio station of somebody that had read that essay I did 5 years ago. And it got in front of him and he said, oh my God, this is the girl that wrote that essay 5 years ago. I have got to have her on my radio show. And it ended up putting me and my partner on national radio, something I did 5 years ago that I thought was done, and it wasn't done. And it was a drop in the bucket that made the whole thing spill over, where I start getting all of this attention and all of these opportunities that weren't open to me previously, but I didn't stop putting the drops in the bucket because I had faith that one day it was going to spill over. And so, yeah, that's what I got to say about that.
No, that's amazing advice. I love that. It's simple and, it's great. I feel like when some people are like, just jump in and do it. And it's like really hard for people to be like, oh, I can't just, you know, not have security in my life. And it's like, sometimes exactly. You need to exactly, you got to do both things. I love that. That's great. I love that you said building your confidence too. I think that's a really big thing. One of my favorite quotes is, building self-confidence is just keeping the promises you make to yourself. So if you just do the same things, like you said, just do those little things, you know, promise yourself every day you're going to do this for 10 minutes, you know, and you'll build that confidence over time. So I love
absolutely.
That. My thing. Oh, I forgot to upgrade my Zoom again. It's all right. I'm now with my last question, then we'll completely wrap it up. So what is your favorite book personally? That is my favorite question to ask everybody.
Ooh,
the hard one.
That is a hard one. Nonfiction or fiction?
Ooh, you can give me both if you'd like. I always like when people give me both.
Okay. My favorite, I think, nonfiction book is Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. I think that is a wonderful book for creatives. Yes. I think that is
that's so funny. It's directly
I think it is such a wonderful book, and really encapsulates a lot of the fears that creatives have moving through the world. And I just think it's a must read. Now for fiction, I really love in modern times, Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor. I think it is a beautifully written book and probably one of the most magical ones I've read in recent years. I think it's dripping with talent and knowledge and just creative essence. And she is just so talented and so underrated. So I highly recommend that book to everybody.
No, I have not read that one, so I'll have to add it to my list. It sounds great.
Love it. And she's got so many good series too. I just think she's so talented.
Well, thank you for that. Also, yeah, Big Magic is a great book. I love that one. It's one of my favorite ones too. That's so funny. I was like, oh, I literally see that book every day. So I'm like, right next to me to remind me to, you know, dream bigger and be more creative in my life. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And how can people connect with you?
So you can follow along on my journey on social media, Sandy Marlisa, Sandy with an I, Marlisa, how it sounds. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram mainly. And then I have a website, sandymarlisa.com. I have 2 books on Amazon, Fire Flurries, Confessions of a Small Town Rockstar is my latest one. And then I also have a collection of essays called To All Who Wander. And I am in a band called Jack and Jen, and we've got 2 albums out. And then I've got a personal album on for Sandy Marlisa called Haven. So I hope you guys will check me out and maybe we can connect and continue in this life together.
Definitely. I'll have all those links in the show notes for everybody as well. Thank you so much. I had a really fun conversation today.
Thank you, Bri, for inviting me.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening every single week. We come out with these episodes at 5 a.m. every single Wednesday. Please subscribe, like, follow, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. See you next week.